So it is August 2nd, 2025, 5:08 a.m. Just to, I guess, demonstrate, exemplify what time really is, I'm going to now talk about the art exhibit. I needed time to pass because emotions are very strong. The ones that I felt before the art exhibit and the ones that I felt during the art exhibit, and then all the hyper-thinking that I did after that created more emotions. Plus, I still had to deal with life, so that's added situations and emotions on top of the one that came before. And there's just a lot of processing that needed to go on. And I think that's something that's very, I wouldn't even say misunderstood, it's just not talked about. We talk about understanding our emotions, controlling our emotions, observing them, analyzing, but the time that it takes to actually allow it to pass through you, and sometimes not really getting an answer why you feel that way, and sometimes it just takes days, maybe weeks, maybe months, and it definitely sat for some time. I would say, though, that a week later, I did hit a point of a revelation, right? Just really understanding. But from that point on till now, there was so much more that still needed to come to the surface. The day of the art exhibit, I chose not to tell anybody. My significant other knew. I told one of my closest friends. I posted it on social media, but that was really just posting it just to post it. I didn't really have any expectations out of it. Slash, in the event somebody did want to pop up and support me very last minute, that would have been cool, but you know, people have their lives. You can't just spring something on somebody last minute and then be disappointed if they don't show. Which, thank Source that, you know, I understand my actions. Maybe not at first, but when I tell you that I'm able to check my actions and my emotions and my thoughts right away and understand why I do certain things subconsciously, I'm like, oh, okay, that's weird, but I guess I understand. Or maybe it's not necessary to understand, but this is like an example to show other people that this is what they do. that kind of makes sense. Anyways, so yeah, I didn't. And the reason why I didn't want anybody to come is because my family, my friends, they are very supportive when it comes to, let me change that word. They are amazed and adore and inspired by my art. They do love it. And I love that they love it. But I want other people to love it as much as they like it. Or love it, rather. And having them there, it's like, I know you guys support me. I know you guys will be there, but you're also not buying my art. And also, when I'm around my friends and my family, I'm very different from when I'm by myself. And I haven't learned how to integrate me while I'm around them. I'm learning a little bit more, but the truth is, when I'm in environments by myself and I don't know anybody, I allow the version of me, the child in me, to be very social. Because how am I supposed to network and build community or a team of people that I will need in the future if I don't know how to do it on my own? Especially being in an environment where I thought I belonged. Which is my next point. I've always wanted to be an artist. I've always felt like if I met more creatives, more artists, that there would be some fulfillment, some satisfaction, a hole, a wound, not necessarily covered up, but it's whole again. And I didn't feel that. Now, I do understand that it's my first art exhibit. The group of people there was very diverse. However, it just, I had this interaction with this beautiful young lady. I'm not sure how old she is, but I'm gonna just call her young lady. We are all young. And I really resonated with her character. She was a digital artist, and the artwork that she was displaying was for a graphic novel that she was writing based on women that, or girls that look like her. It was like very fairy witchy vibes, you know, which I love. And I was just so amazed. And we were just talking, and I was asking her about her process. And I was, at the very end of it, I was saying that, you know, soon you're going to be able to say, I'm an author, and I can't wait to read your book, and I love it. And I felt so much happiness and joy for her. I'm somebody who I don't think I can share what I want to do with people that I'm surrounded by, let alone a stranger. But she felt comfortable enough to share a bit of the process. And that's a vulnerability that some artists have, some creators have, and some don't. it felt warmth and love. And after we talked for a while, she goes, "Oh, are you here for the event or are you also an artist?" And I was like, "No, I'm an artist." She's like, "Oh my gosh, let's go see your work." And we walk over to my art and we're just talking about it. And she was like, "And you could say you're an artist." I smiled and I laughed and I was like, "Yeah, I can say I'm an artist." That's, you know, like just allowing another woman to hype me up and me fully accept it and embrace it. However, everything inside me was like, no, ew. And the crazy part is, like, for so long, I never said I was an artist. People ask me, like, "Oh, what do you do?" and stuff like that. And I wouldn't mention it because I'm not consistent with my work. I don't sell my artwork. I've never been in a gallery. And I just felt like I needed to do all those things to be considered an artist. But I'm a creator. Like, yes, I'm an artist, but, and I create art, but it just, hearing it, somebody saying it, it did not feel right. I think it's not that I wanted it, it's something that I've been chasing. And to finally, even though, again, it is my first experience, even though I've been working towards that moment, immediately I said no. Immediately no. And sometimes you just know. I can say yes, this is my first experience, but listen, I'm very in tune with how I feel and where I would like to go in life. And I don't believe that's a feeling that I should have felt. Prior to the art exhibit starting, I called one of my closest friends. He's probably one of the only artists that I know. And, two things. Just because I just finished talking about that feeling of her saying you're an artist and then realizing that I'm not. I remember he had called me one day and we're just talking. And then eventually he was like, "Yo, I just realized something. I'm an illustrator. I'm not an artist." And I told him, "Yeah, I knew that." Me being that person of, "Yeah, I know." But, yes, he's an artist, but he creates his own characters and his own scenes, and he's able to draw inspiration from other artists and incorporate it into his own. And he illustrates. If he wanted a book by now, a children's book, a coloring book, a series, and I know that's what he's working towards, I am 100% sure that he's going to make that happen because he is an illustrator. So when I heard you're an artist and everything inside me said no, I was like, that's almost what that would have felt like for him when he finally understood. Because there's so many genres and avenues and mediums when it comes to art itself. And then there is a place for each soul. We're able to dip into different mediums because we understand art as a whole, but there is a specific pocket cozy for us. And I'm still finding my way towards that. And don't take this as, "Oh, this is my first experience and yeah, I'm done with this." I'm not. But also the other thing about, he's like a brother to me. anytime he has an art exhibit or he's out selling his artwork, he's like a kid in a candy store. And I thought that's what I was going to experience. But just how I was speaking about following what somebody else wants me to do, or what my life should look like, in a way, and subconsciously, I did that without fully realizing it until I was there in the moment. And you know, the universe has a funny way of telling you and showing you what is not for you. And I've experienced that this past year. Last year, almost a full year. I want to say by the end of August is when I put this out to the universe, but I wanted specific things to happen within my life. The universe presented it with me. I weighed out my options. I did a full analysis of, is this right? Should I do this? Should I take this opportunity? I asked for it. I asked for it. And in those moments, it didn't feel right. Actually, what I also experienced was that liminal emotion. I felt it before knowing. And it wasn't like months in advance, like I put it out to the universe a couple of days or as the process is happening, I already knew. And it was disappointing each and every time. But I'm learning, and I'm also understanding how my senses are working and being so aligned and trusting what I feel. And I think that that's part of, that's one part of all that I was feeling for the exhibit. So I did not stand by my art because, one, my art speaks for itself. Two, if you wanted to buy it, you could. My information is there. I've sold art where I've posted it and somebody said I wanted to buy it. I've done commissions. So I guess in a way I could say I'm an artist. But I didn't need to stand next to it. My goal was really to just showcase it. And I will know for the next art exhibit that I won't put a price. I'll put my social media. If you want to follow my progress, my process, my journey, my expedition. But it's only for people to see. I didn't really want to sell my art, to be honest. I am very connected to my pieces, and not all of my pieces are incomplete, but the collection is incomplete. And I think that a reason why I never signed up for an art exhibit is because I thought that my pieces will no longer be with me. And I'm not ready to let them go. And with that being said, I didn't need to stand next to my pieces. So I was towards the end of a row of art being displayed, and the artists that were surrounding my art on opposite walls or the same wall, they were all standing there. So it was just literally like six artists in a very small spot. And I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And so I just stood away and I observed. I observed the people in the venue and how they interacted with other artists, with each other, and with the art. And to my surprise, nobody really looked at it. And I know people who know me are going to be very shocked. Now, a part of them not looking at it, I do think is how I hung it up, but that's another conversation for another day. But they didn't. And you know what I felt? I felt I was hurt. As artists, we want to be acknowledged, recognized. We need some sort of validation that we should continue. And especially because I was literally working the room and not even introducing myself to other artists unless they asked me, but giving other artists the appreciation that they deserve for their work and the time and effort, because I know the patience and the time and effort that goes into creating a piece. That goes into creating art. And everybody's medium there was different. I'm not gonna lie. I've never seen such a diverse, eclectic group of people and art in a space. To be honest, I don't necessarily think our energies would align at any other point than that day. I won't say I can't. Maybe later down in line, there'll be some sort of alignment again with one of the artists. I don't know. I can't tell you that, but it was a very weird space. Not weird space, but like the vibes wasn't, like I said, I didn't feel like I belonged there. But yeah, I just, you know, I gave that to other artists, and it wasn't so I could get it back. But I just hope that somebody would have stood there long enough to really process all that my art was saying. And then in that moment, because, you know, the event was from 7 to 11. I ended up leaving at 10. When I realized I don't have to stay till 11, I definitely packed up at 10. But around maybe like 8:45, I was like, you know what? I'm done walking around. I'm kind of bored. I wish I would have brought a sketchbook with me or my iPad to do some other work. But I just kind of wanted to focus only on that. And normally I carry so much stuff. And I was like, no, I don't want to overwork myself or overwhelm myself. Let me just focus on this one thing. I should have listened to myself and bought a sketchbook because I was bored as hell. However, I love music, and there was a DJ. There was house music playing at first, which was a vibe, and then R&B came on, and you know, that's my jam. I love my R&B. And I vibed out. I had a beer, I had a Modelo, which doesn't really get me lit. And again, I was by myself, so I'm not going to be drinking or having hard liquor when I know I got to travel home later. And I'm a woman, right? Like, I got to be alert, regardless if I'm traveling or if I'm in a space. So I vibed out, and it was such a, like, that feeling of vibing out and pivoting my emotions of like what I was experiencing, but also kind of self-soothing and being like, well, you know what type of artist you are. You're literally taking a step. This was just a step. It wasn't even a leap. And you did good. So I just enjoyed myself for the rest of the time. And then I packed up my stuff and I left. But you know, when I left, I was hurt. I didn't have any expectations for the event, but I had hope and faith that it would be memorable. And it was, just not in the way that I hoped. It's memorable in a sense that I learned a lot from that experience of how I should hang up my art. Should I be a little bit selfish with taking up all space? The time that I should get there to set up? If I should talk to other artists? if I should do live painting or drawing? And what do I hope out of being in certain spaces? What's the goal? And just, you know, narrowing all of those things down so that way the next time I have an art show, not to say it'll be better than my first, but I have experience. And sometimes that's what we do it for the experience and gaining knowledge and now have something to go off of. As days passed, time made itself known, reality made itself known. This illusion that I was living of peace. And I was, don't get me wrong, I have been very peaceful and trying to keep peace. I wasn't being honest. I wasn't. When I listened back to the first and second episode that I made in this series, I said, wow, I sound great. I sound like I know what I'm talking about. I sound like I got it together. I sounded like I was disciplined. And I'm not. And that's really what presented itself to me. You know, I'm a Virgo, so I'm very hard on myself. I'm always hard on myself. So me finally realizing that it's not that I'm not doing enough. I'm just not going that extra mile. I keep on over-promising and under-delivering. Everything that I know that I can do. And I'm just avoiding it. Or making excuses. Or thinking that my conscious decisions and how I rationalize why I should be resting, it just It was just to make myself feel good. As I scrolled on Instagram and I see all the people that I follow, the new artists or creators that I follow, they're posting their art, they're making their reels, they're going that extra mile. I don't even like doing that. To be honest, I just want to be about the art. That's it. Like, I don't want to record. I don't want to make a little clip. I just want to be zoned in to my gift. And I keep on telling myself, like, oh, you're going to do it. I make my recordings, and I'll put a video together, and I'll do all the editing and the work, and then I post it, and it's just like, well, I'm not really getting anything from it, but I'm also not consistent. I'm inconsistently consistent. Because my consistency is conditional. So when I analyze or rationalize all that I'm feeling I go through, I do some deep research, for real. Because when I realize that I'm not disciplined, I go deeper. And there's two types of self-discipline that I came across. Contingent self-discipline and permission-based self-discipline. Contingent self-discipline, as I was saying, is conditional. It's based on certain circumstances, moods, or external validation. And it's basically, you only act if you feel motivated, praised, someone is watching, or the conditions are perfect. And to be honest, when it came to me doing this painting and even finishing the pointillism piece that I decided to display in the show, the art exhibit, I only did it because I was having an art exhibit come up. Like, during the school year of me working, I most definitely was doing art. And that's because I refound my love for drawing and pointillism and linear geometric work. And I like fine tip art. I've always liked fine tip art. In high school, I used to love to doodle. I used to go super zoned in. Like, you cannot talk to me. So zoned in. And so I was doing that. But once the school year was over and I'm on this break, I don't think that once the school year was over, I would have gotten myself up in the way that I did, working on it every single day and even taking reasonable breaks to get it done. And in fact, the painting, I had some time to get it done. And I have anxiety when doing paintings sometimes, because currently I'm in a space of wanting it to be a certain way and what source wants to create. A lot of my art when it comes to painting, and sometimes even my pointillism pieces, but I have a little bit more control over them, I create unconsciously. So when I create something and you see it and you ask me, why did I create it or how did I create it, I'm gonna let you know it wasn't me. I am the vessel, I am energy, and the energy was flowing through me to the paintbrush, to the paint, to the canvas. And that's what that is. And don't get me wrong, it's very like maybe subconscious stuff that comes out, or emotions or whatever. But when I tell you, I don't understand it myself until months, years later. And I know for a fact that's just something more than my physical presence creating that, or just being present creating that. And you know, that's sad, because I was talking about, oh, I wanted to be an artist. But when I tell you, I don't nearly put as much work and effort the way I see artists put in. And I couldn't understand why. I think I like talking more. But I was very inconsistent. Inconsistently consistent. And a lot of people stay in that cycle. It's so fragile. It's so, so fragile. And to be in that loop, and I think, or what I think, maybe what I know, what I feel, you're moving against your natural, I don't want to say frequency, but your natural motion or way of creating. It was to the point where, like, as you know, these revelations are coming up over days and I'm processing a lot. I was like, well, maybe I shouldn't be a painter. Maybe that's not for me. You know what? I'm going to just hang it up. I don't want to paint. And then literally the past 3 days, I have like these little small, it's called canvas pads. So it was like a pad of like just the canvas sheets. Very small. And I've been painting. I have not picked up paint in a year besides the piece that I just did for the art exhibit. Well, I did pick up paint to finish a project, but not like start a project from beginning to end in one shot. And I did 4 little sheets. And I was like, okay, I told myself that maybe this wasn't for me. And Source was like, just follow, just listen, surrender, which I have. I did. And so I created that. But I also think that it's like during, not necessarily a specific time, but it's just, what does your discipline really look like? And how does it feel? I shouldn't be anxious doing a painting or waiting last minute to do it. I want to just do it because I'm called to do it. Like the way that I just picked up the paint, the paintbrush, the canvas, and I just sat at my desk and I painted. And I don't even know now why I needed to wait to finally paint. But I did it. And at least I showed up. That's one thing I would say. I might have been in a state of contingent self-discipline. But I showed up. And I got the pieces done. Well, actually, I think that painting is kind of incomplete and complete at the same time. I don't know how I feel about it, but I did sign it already. I could still add to it. It's not like there's any rules to any of this. So yeah, now there's also permission-based self-discipline, which is governed by internal negotiation, often shaped by self-doubt, fear, or guilt. And it's basically you waiting for permission to act. ACT. I know sometimes how I talk, the words might not be so clear, but anyways, either waiting to give yourself permission or waiting for others to give permission to do something. And that right there leads to procrastination and avoidance. Another example that I'll use, since I'm just going to put myself all out there. When I started my podcast last year, my first one, I always wanted to do it with somebody. I was always scared to do it by myself. And then finally, I was like, fuck it, I'm going to do it. My first podcast needed work. And so I just was like, you know what? This was a good test run. And I went back to the drawing board, I brainstormed, and I came up with the Lord's Letters. Then I made 3 episodes for Lord's Letters, and I didn't continue. And even though I didn't need permission from anybody to continue, I think I was avoiding continuing because that whole thing about over promising and under delivering, I had asked these photographers, hey, like, this is what my podcast is about, I would love for you guys to be on it. And you know, I jumped the gun. I think about everything that I want to do, but the planning, the preparation, the actual time, what I want to talk about, I didn't get that done. And then I just avoided, and it's crazy because it's not necessarily that I avoided doing the podcast, because I still worked on it. I have in my journal, I've made episodes and I've scripted about it, not a lot, but like enough ideas where I could have made episodes without even having them, because it's my podcast. I could change my mind if I want to, but I didn't think that I could, because I've always done that. I'll say, hey, like, I'm gonna do this, and then I don't do it. And this past year has been me learning how to follow through. Just follow through, that's it. Which kind of sucks, because I'm about to be 29. So like, I'm now learning this, but that's good. It doesn't really matter how old you are when you learn. But as long as you take responsibility and accountability and adapt and make those changes, you know, to not be so hard on yourself or create all these false ideas and scenarios and all this in your head to make you limit yourself. Society does enough placing us in boxes. And we're so conditioned to them doing it that we do it ourselves. They say the sky's the limit, so the sky's the limit. Which is stupid as hell. Because where does the sky start and where does it end? It's boundless. On top of that, we are literally on a rock in space of energy that's vast and infinite. There is no sky. There is no limit. And permission-based self-discipline is limiting. It's self-limiting. it's feeling worthy, or whether we deserve everything we know we should have. I was gonna say everything we know we want, but as I explained earlier, there's things that I wanted, and once it was presented to me, I did not want that. And I know that in my life, I don't want to continue waiting till the right moment to feel worthy or to get art done or even to make my episodes. This experience is allowing me to fully shift from my head to my heart. I've been working on my heart space since the beginning of 2025. And it is not easy. Healthy is hard sometimes, especially in the adjustment period. So a year ago yesterday, I got a tattoo of a seed. It is connected to my birthday on the side of my hand. And coming out of the seed, there's a quote that says, "I'm the greatest channel of the universe," which is a version of a quote from Oppenheimer. I changed it to fit me specifically, but I like getting meaningful tattoos. The next tattoo that I want to get eventually, soon, is of this word, entelechy. Entelechy refers to the realization of potential, the process by which something becomes fully itself. In Aristotle's philosophy, it's the inner purpose or end goal that exists within something. It's what causes a seed to become a tree, or a person to strive toward their highest self. So I think of it as a blueprint of my soul driving me towards fulfillment. So when I said it's what causes a seed to become a tree, think of it as like an acorn. An acorn has the entelechy of an oak tree. Or think of a caterpillar. A caterpillar has an entelechy of a butterfly. I am on a mission to integrate all of myself so that I can be my true self. I'm still figuring out who I am and how I work in different spaces. And it's exhausting. But I am finally giving myself permission to do that. And that's another step in life, not in any direction, but just a step that I need to take. It's like I already pivot, so just walk. I want to read something. Elegy for the clock that lied. I'm worn the hours I once obeyed. The ticking myth that shaped my breath. A schedule carved in someone else's hand while my own pulse waited and unheard. I grieve the days I did not bloom. For but fear that it was not the season. Yet I know the seed is wise. It waits for nothing but its own becoming. Time lied to me, dressed in deadlines and doubt, measured in milestones and mirrors of regret. I bury the notion that I'm behind. I bury the map that led me to everywhere but home. Beneath the ruin of rushed becoming, a silence grows. Not empty, but full. A throb beneath the skin, ancient as breath, gentle as flame. It is not time I follow now, but the heart, the last honest compass. It does not hurry. It does not mourn what never was. It only moves forward toward what must be. Let the clocks rust. Let the calendars curl. The intellect key still hums beneath the noise, calling me not forward, but inward. And when they ask what guides me, I will say, only what cannot be named, and yet knows exactly who I am becoming.